Hey, I'm Savannah.
And I'm Audie, and we're the Pulidos.
We're here talking about simplifying our life, growing and loving our family, and learning about the world.
And today we're talking about our expectations versus the reality of foster care.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 18.
Yeah, welcome back.
Today we're talking, as you heard in the intro, about foster care, and we are very excited.
Yes. So last week, we finally did it. We did the episode that we were talking about for so many episodes, and we finally dedicated a full episode last week, and now we're doing the other half of it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot this was the part two.
That's yeah, right. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a super little mini series of foster care.
Yep. And if you didn't hear last week's episode, go listen to it, but you don't have to hear that to listen to this one. They are separate topics, but
yeah.
So how are you doing before we get to that?
Yeah, doing pretty good. There's a lot of things I think that happened since last time we talked on the podcast.
You and me?
Oh. Yeah, on the podcast. But it was really fun. Yeah, so it snowed here for the first time of this year. And it was really cool. It was really nice, awesome. It was so exciting.
I know. I was teaching at my desk, and while I was teaching, I was literally just like my desk faces the window, and I was just watching the snow falling while I was teaching. It was the most peaceful,
that's
beautiful
cool
thing. It was so cool. Yeah. And I was telling my students, I was like, guys, it's snowing here.
Yeah.
And my students are all like in the Bay Area of California. So they were like, what? Because it never snows there.
Yeah. So it was pretty bizarre. So I was at work the whole time in my office when it started to snow. And it's a 45-minute commute. And so once I left, I was bummed out that it wasn't really snowing. It was more like rain.
Yeah.
And so I was driving back to Monmouth, and on the way, it started to snow. Like, as soon as I left that city I was in, it was just starting to snow, and it just got more intense. At one point in Salem, it was just a ton of snow.
Yeah.
And so it was really cool just to see and to watch, like, it, just the sides of the roads all covered with snow and everything. But it was very scary to drive.
Yeah, like, I bet.
I keep saying that it is – snow is pretty awesome to look at, but not to drive in.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So it was very scary, but hey, I made it out alive. But yeah, so I got here, and it was just crazy stuff, you know, a lot of snow.
Yeah.
So I waited for you to be done with work, and then we decided to go outside and, like, pretty much take pictures and try to do a little snowman.
Yeah,
and
built a tiny little snowman. But yeah, there was quite a bit, actually. I was surprised how much we got.
Oh, yeah. 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 And the next day, so this was yesterday, I ended up not going to work because it was pretty icy and there was still snow in the,
yeah,
in the road.
Yeah, our car is not built for that.
No, it's not. It's built different, so. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't you have something that you wanted to tell me?
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, we talked about minimalism and traveling.
Yeah.
And, like, how to pack as a minimalist. So I mentioned my satchel, my second bag I take with me to travel and everything.
Yeah.
And I said that's pretty old, several years old, and it's like it was just hanging by, like, a couple threads.
It broke.
Yeah, so this morning on the way to the school, I put the satchel on and then took like 20 steps from my car, and then bam, the bag fell on the floor, and I just laughed because I already knew it was going to happen because I put some extra weight on the bag.
Oh.
In the bag. Yeah. So I knew that was going to happen, and yeah, it happened. So RIP bag.
Wow. Well, it had a good run.
It did.
I mean, you could obviously fix it, but it's very
used. Not really. Yeah. Not really. There's a bunch of holes.
And yeah. I don't think
there's a way to, like, glue it back or, you know, staple it back.
Glue it?
I don't know.
Okay, that's not what I was thinking, but yeah, I think it's time to thank it and say goodbye.
Yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to thank it and throw it away.
Yeah.
And then it's funny, two days ago before, you know, this happened today, I was looking at some Tom Bin bags, like satchel.
Oh, yeah.
Messenger bags, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, so that happened. Bummed out, but hey, it's been a good run.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so snow happened. My bag ripped. That's nice. Pretty much it. Yeah. So this week has been pretty busy, long, but it's been cool.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. How was your day?
It was good.
Yeah.
This week's been a little crazy with my classes and stuff, but it's been good. And I don't know. I don't really have any
any news. Interesting facts or anything?
Not really.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-uh. That's fine. Yeah. So should we jump straight into the question?
Yeah. So we asked for questions about foster care on our Instagram, and we answered several of them in last week's episode, but this one I thought would be, because it was just kind of a more like fun, lighthearted question, so I thought this one would be a good one to answer during this segment.
Yeah.
So we have a question from Leah, and she asked us, what was the most fun thing about foster care? And I really like this question because it's really easy to, I think when I think about fostering, it's really easy for me to just think about it in like a very serious kind of tone, you know?
Yeah.
And because there are things about it that obviously are really serious, and there were things about it that were really hard and very, just so many emotions.
Right. Yeah.
But there were really fun things about it. So I really like this question. So what's your answer?
So the most fun thing about foster care. So it definitely has to involve the kids.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the paperwork.
It was not. Yeah. The kiddos were such a blast. Yeah. All four of them. There were different, you know, cases, but I think that it was really fun to be a parent.
Yeah.
And that was something that I was so excited to play that role for a while, and to finally do it. It was really cool. And, you know, we're going to talk about the expectations and reality in a minute, but we were both, I think, just anxious to be parents and to finally be in that role. That was challenging, but it was really fun because I got to be a kid again, and I got to just, you know, be more creative as a parent, you know, and figure out like, okay, what can I do to entertain these kids? And they didn't really need our help because there were a lot of them. And even with our R2-D2, when he was by himself, like, he just didn't mind playing by himself. He played with every single toy that he had.
Yeah, he was a very good independent player. Yeah.
And so it was kind of fun to watch that and also participate with the dance parties that our three little kids had.
Yeah.
You know, almost every night. And it was cool just to see them be so creative and play pretend and to just be a kid. And so I really enjoyed playing with them and laughing with them. There were so many, they were really funny.
Oh my gosh.
In many ways, like everybody, all four of them. And so I think it was fun to see that and to see them laugh and to have us just like laugh for no reason, you know, and just the little simple things. So yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What about you?
Well, it's funny. I didn't really know what I was going to say, but as you were talking, a couple of things came to mind.
Uh-huh.
One of them you mentioned, which was the dance parties.
Yeah.
Like the three siblings, you know, that we had for the 9 months.
Yeah.
They just, one of their very favorite things to do was just turn on Alexa. And it was always either the Teen Beach movie soundtrack, the Descendants soundtrack.
Yeah.
Or like the Get Up.
Yes.
That's another one. Like the Kids Bop version. And they would just dance, and they would do like dance routines, and they could just entertain themselves dancing for like such a long time. And it was so funny, but it was so much fun to see that, and just the joy, you know, that brought them was really cool. And then the other thing I thought of was getting to be like Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
The Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about our St. Patrick's Day mishap.
Yeah.
And the Tooth Fairy.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was really fun. And, you know, such a just cool and, like, magical part of parenting, and something that, you know, usually you don't get to really step into until many years down the road as your kids are getting older.
Uh-huh.
But we, you know, all of a sudden just had these three kids who very firmly believed in, you know, Santa Claus and leprechauns and the Tooth Fairy and all this. So that was really cool. And we like kind of went all out with that kind of stuff, especially with like the Tooth Fairy. That was really fun.
Yeah.
We made like little tiny, you know, cards and envelopes and notes, and we put glitter everywhere.
Yes.
And made it kind of a big thing. And I think that was really special.
Yeah. For them, I would like sneak my way into the room, and there were all three of them, and, you know, sleeping in this room.
I know that was scary having all three of them, because if one of them woke up, we were busted.
Pretty much, yeah. So that was crazy. Just these little things, you know, like I mentioned, that it was cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a good question.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that, Leah. It was very, there were a lot of fun things, and it's good to like step back and remember those too.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, so as you know from the title, we are talking today about the expectations versus the reality of foster care.
Yeah.
And before we get into that, I want to make one thing very clear as we're kind of introducing this. So, so when we hear the phrase, you know, expectation versus reality, I think it has like a negative connotation to it, because it's sort of saying, you know, this thing isn't what we thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that obviously there's an element of that that's true, because that's the whole reason that, you know, that we're talking about this. But one thing I want to really emphasize, and I'll say it over and over again, is that the problem is not the kids. The problem with foster care is never the kids. It's never that they're problem children or anything like that. I think one of the most sobering things to realize during this past year of fostering was there were days for me where I felt like I was drowning, and I felt like it was just too much, and I honestly didn't know if I could keep going.
Yeah.
But I am an adult, and I chose to do this. And, you know, I chose to step into, you know, fostering. But our kids are children, you know, obviously, and they didn't choose this. Like, they didn't choose to be in this situation. And I know that that's obvious, but when you kind of let that reality sink in, it's very sobering. You know, not only did they not choose this, but they have been in this reality for so much longer than I have, and they have faced hardships beyond like anything that I could even comprehend. And that was just something that was so important for me to kind of step back and think about. And to be honest, it knowing that didn't really make those hard days easier, but it definitely made it worth it. And so my point in saying all of that is just that as we're talking about this, and there are some things that might be negatives, and we are going to talk about the problems with the system and all of that, but it's never about the kids. Like, they are never the negative. They're never the problem.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so I just want to make sure that that's super clear. And I think one thing that we might talk about today or possibly later is that sadly, not everybody thinks that. And there are people who, even that we've encountered in our short time doing this, who do think that kids in the foster care system are problem children. And that is so just devastating, you know, to hear that and to hear people thinking that, like, oh, you know, those kids are going to have, you know, these, all these issues, and like, do you know what you're getting yourself into?
Right.
And all those kind of things. And that's just not the case at all. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted, you know, before we start talking about this, I just want to make that very clear.
Right. Yeah. So to paint the picture, if you, this is the first time you're listening to us, we have fostered four children. That's three siblings for 9 months and then one child for a couple of weeks. So from when we first stepped into the world of foster care, it's been about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we're definitely not like experts or, you know, veterans at this, but we do have some experience. And I think that I also think that there's value to talking about it when it's, you know, kind of more fresh in our experience.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, if there are people who are also new, you know, newer than us to foster care, that this would be helpful for them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that year and a half, we really endured a lot of things. It really kind of, looking back at that year and a half, it kind of feels like it was years of life.
Yeah.
And that's because we did have to fast forward a lot of things. And within, you know, just weeks or whatever months, like it really felt like it was years.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because it was during the pandemic.
Yeah.
When it started and everything, it really like amped up everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had to do a lot of things and do it multiple times. And so it really felt like we were doing parenting for many years.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that we should dive straight into the expectations and the reality.
Yeah, so
of those expectations.
Oh, sorry. So we both wrote down a handful of expectations versus realities. We don't know what the other person wrote. And I think we're just going to go back and forth.
Yeah.
And then mine are not really in any particular order. Are yours?
No.
Okay.
And yeah, if the other person, you know, shares one expectation and the other person has the same thing, we will obviously talk about that right there and then.
Yeah. I would be surprised if we had ones that were like exactly the same, but we might have ones that are similar.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Okay.
All right. So my first one is expectation. It would be a long time before we had kids in our home. And the reality is we had kids in our home within 3 months of making the first call to DHS.
Yeah.
And this is going to be brief because we actually talked about this a lot last week of why that happened and all that. So if you don't know, go back and listen to last week. But that was definitely a big one where I thought, yeah, you know, once we start this process, it's going to be like a year or longer before we ever see kids.
Right.
And it was literally 3 months and we were parenting three kids. So that was a huge shock.
Yeah, I didn't write that down, but I 100% agree that it was definitely a shock that we received these kids like super just fast. And it was interesting, you know, that looking back at that, like we were definitely scared and we had the expectation of like, oh, we have about a minimum of 6 months, you know, and then the max of like up to a year for us to prepare for having kids in our house. And back then we were young, right? And we still are, but I think that we definitely didn't feel like we were prepared to take care of someone and to play that role of a parent. But then it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it was a good reality.
Yeah,
it was
definitely
a scary reality, but it was good.
Yeah, I remember when we talked last week about how somebody from our church told us about the kids and that Thanksgiving we actually spent with them, with that family.
We did, yeah.
And the kids had just come and moved in with us the weekend before Thanksgiving. And so we were there. And like I said, you know, she had literally told us about the kids September 1st. And then they were in our home with us in November. And I remember at that Thanksgiving dinner, she like looked at me and she was like, I can't believe that this actually happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, neither can I.
Yeah.
Like it was very just like, I can't believe that this is happening. Like this is real.
Right. I think I had the same understanding and like just, you know, thought of that. Like, wow, like you talked to us about them. You know, like, I don't know, like a month or a few months before that.
Yeah.
And here we are now with them.
Yeah.
Like as a family.
So crazy.
You know, celebrating this like family event thing. And so it was very crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if only we knew, right? And so it was really funny.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, that was a good reality. That was funny.
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay, so I don't have that one, but I do have one. One of my expectations, hopefully it makes sense, and I'll explain though. So my expectation is that we would belong in a community and be part of a community. And the reality was that there was the lack of community and we felt like we were stuck in between. So I know the word community can mean so many things, but, and I want to describe what kind of community, but we definitely felt stuck.
Yeah.
We felt like we were in between one group, one community and the other, you know, like one kind of the after college graduate people, like the young mid 25-year-old people, yeah. And then parents.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big like spectrum, right? It's a big difference. Like,
yeah.
You have one side here and the other side over here. And we were kind of in between.
And then you also have like parents of babies and toddlers, which is also a very different stage of life.
So when I mean community, I'm talking about like the church community, because that's the only community that we were like involved in.
Yeah.
And so we didn't really fit in before the kids. And once having the kids, we were kind of like in that awkward situation because, mm-hmm. yes, there were a lot of parents, but they had newborns. They had little toddlers. And then we did talk about last week about that there was a foster like parents, but that was kind of rare. And also even with that, like, it was cool that we did like fit in with them and talk to them at the beginning and everything. We got so many like just information and all that stuff and what to do and everything from that family. But then just later, as we were doing life with the kids, it didn't really feel like we were like friends, you know, with these people. And that's fine. But it really like sucked because we didn't really have a community. We were back in that same boat that we were before having the kids. And that was that, like, we don't have people. We don't have other foster people, family, parents, one that's also like biracial. So we don't have like our people, mm-hmm. that we could go to and have the kids, you know, kind of connect with, and especially us too, you know, connect with them and have friends.
Yeah. And like the friends that we had, you know, pre-marriage are not here.
Yeah.
And our families are not here.
Yeah. So there's a lot of my like friends and your friends that are married and newlyweds like us that are all back in California, mm-hmm. and we're here in Oregon.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I could also change the word community into like friends, you know, lack, mm-hmm. of friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's so many factors and so many kind of layers to that. And, you know, I don't think that our intention is to be like, you know, poor us, like,
no,
look at us.
Right.
But that's just the reality of what was going on. And it was really difficult.
Yes.
And like, you know, like I just said, there were so many reasons and you know, aspects of it. It wasn't just like, oh, like people didn't like us or whatever. No.
Yeah. I was going to say, we could definitely like dive in a lot more into this. Like that, yes, there was community, like there was a lot of foster people that we were connected with.
Yes.
But then in a kind of personal and a friend level, there was that lack.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is needed,
mm-hmm.
and it was a bummer.
Yeah.
So that's something that, again, we could dive into later, a different time, because there's just so much to unwrap, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that, yeah, I think it's fair to say, right? That,
oh,
that,
yeah.
That was that lack. Okay.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that. That's really good. And because, yeah, I didn't write that one down, but that's very true. And
oh, really?
That really is just the reality, you know? That's right. What was going on. And then, like you mentioned, then COVID happened. And
that just made it, like, worse as far as, like, socializing.
Yeah. So it was like we already hadn't had that foundation of right. community and friendship. And then basically it was now impossible to cultivate it at all, you know?
Yeah.
So my next one is expectation that the legal side of things in the foster care system would make sense.
Uh-huh.
And the reality is there's still so much about the whole legal side that I just don't understand.
Mm.
So what I mean by that is that I would at least understand what was going on was my expectation.
Yeah.
So I'm not at all saying that, oh, I know what's best. Yeah. Here, hand it over to me, let me do it. But I just expected that I would be able to see some sort of like from A to B to C, like this kind is like how we got here.
Black and white.
Yeah. And just kind of like, this is the way things work. So now watch this unfold.
Right.
And that's not what it was like at all. And there's still, like, when I think back on certain things, with all of that, I still just scratch my head and be like, I don't know how this led to this, led to this, right. led to this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very confusing. And you try to ask questions and they tell you, like, we can't tell you that.
Yeah.
And, or we try to ask a question and then they give we get a really vague answer. Uh-huh. And I'm not just talking about, like, one particular person or whatever. Like, just across the board, that was kind of my experience.
Uh-huh.
Is like, I try to ask, you know, like, oh, so why is this happening? Or what's going to happen when after this happens? And it's just like, well, sometimes it works like this. Sometimes it works like this. And yeah. this is this reason yeah. and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just left like, so you didn't answer my question. And anyway, so it was just right. like, I just expected not for it to, not that I, I'm not saying that I expected it to be perfect or
yeah.
whatever, because it's a very broken situation.
It is,
that
yeah.
that, you know, that the government is trying to step in and to deal with. So there's so much going on there, and there's so much that needs to be done to, like, repair that. And it's not, like, something that could be a quick fix at all.
Yeah.
But I just thought that I would at least be able to grasp it. But it just seemed mm-hmm. so all over the place yeah. to me from my perspective. And right. our perspective was limited because our, you know, we didn't have, we weren't privy to a lot of the information of what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was just an interesting reality that was not what I had thought at all.
Right, yeah. And you would think that you would get so much information as the one that is taking care of the kids.
It's just very interesting the way that the whole thing works.
Yeah. So my next expectation is that, like, our main job as foster parents was to, like, take care of the kids.
I have that one.
Really?
Yeah. I, like, have that almost exactly written down word for word.
Okay. So hopefully it's the same, like, reality.
We'll see what, yeah. What did you say
for the reality? I did write down the reality, but kind of forgot the expectation. So that's kind of like, my expectation was like, okay, you're going to take care of these kids,
mm-hmm.
and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
You know, feed them, give them a place to sleep,
love and that's them. It. Yeah.
And all that. Yeah, be a parent to them. Yeah. That's it. But then the reality was that I wrote down that I didn't expect that we were going to have to do a lot of phone calls. Mostly you know, doing phone calls, mm-hmm. Be part of meetings, be part of appointments, you know, go to appointments, go to the hospital, do so many, like, things because of the kids. Like, they had, you know, counseling, they had all these little appointments and,
yeah,
you know, court and all that stuff. So mm-hmm. that just, like, that was reality of it. You
yeah.
know, it wasn't just like, you know, make sure they're alive and right. they survive, you know, under your care.
Yeah.
But that is, like, here is all these meetings, weekly, monthly things that you have to do. And not only you have to, but that you are, that you can be part of and attend.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also one of the things that, like, that we didn't realize, like, oh, we could do all this stuff. And we were like, yeah, well, why not, you know, be part of these things. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'll tell you how I wrote it down. It's almost, yeah. uh-huh. like, it's very, very similar to that. So I said, expectation, parenting would be my primary role as a foster parent. Reality. So I said, reality, this is kind of true. At the end of the day, it does boil down to parenting, but parenting a child in the system also requires a huge amount of advocacy. So I think, yes. I think the way that I would explain this is parenting does require advocacy. So if uh-huh. you have a biological child or an adopted child or whatever,
yeah,
that is, you know, permanently your child,
uh-huh.
if something comes up where they need extra care or they, you know, they have a medical need, they are in a difficult situation at school or something like that,
uh-huh.
then one of your jobs as a parent is to advocate for them.
Yeah.
That's a natural part of it.
Uh-huh.
But when you are parenting a child who is in the foster care system, that aspect of parenting gets turned up to, like, volume 11.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I also did have a situation in, you know, while we were fostering where somebody told me, like, oh, don't worry about that. Just let them do their job, referring right. to like the government, basically.
Yeah.
And I didn't take that very well. I was, you know, I mean, at the time, I think I responded fine. But
yeah.
afterward, I was like, she's completely wrong. Like,
right.
this is part of my job as a parent.
Yeah.
You know, you're telling me, like, let them do their job. Well, let me do my job.
Uh-huh.
Part of my job is to make sure that the, you know, the kids are getting the best care.
Yeah.
And that they're getting what they need. And so uh-huh. I'm not going to just sit back and be like, oh, I'll just take care of them at home when I am, you know, like you said, we had the most relevant, up-to-date information on what yeah. was going on with them. And so I was going to do, you know, we were going to do everything that we could to right. advocate. Yeah. I don't want to scare people who are coming into this with that expectation that,
yeah.
like, oh, I thought that I was just going to be a parent. Because you are. Like, at the end of the day, that is your job. There's another foster mom who I got to know who has been a huge resource for me. And what uh-huh. she told me that was so helpful was, like, you guys are a lifeboat. And you, because when I was really doubting, like, I don't know if we did enough. I don't know if I uh-huh. did a good enough job and all this stuff. She was like, no, you guys were a lifeboat. They were drowning. Like, they needed yeah. a place. They needed someone to literally save them.
Uh-huh.
And you were that. You were that lifeboat that got them from where they were drowning to where they needed to be, which was the next step of where they moved on to. And so at the end of the day, if you do love that child and keep them safe, that's it. You have absolutely done your job as a foster parent.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, like, scare anyone away by saying, like, you have to become a lawyer and, like, learn all this legal yeah. jargon and all that. Like, that's absolutely not true.
Yeah.
But just know that as your love for these children grow, like, you are going to want to advocate and you're going to want to, you know, speak up for them and all this stuff. And depending on the case, depending on
yeah.
your situation, that could be there'll be varying levels of that, you know?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I don't know if I should say this. It seems like, you know, foster parents don't play like a huge role in yeah. sort of the decision making and stuff. Like
the legal part. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think that it makes a difference, though, if you just continue to voice your concerns, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so you don't have to, again, like, you don't have to know all the legal stuff. You don't have to be an expert at, like, business or whatever. Like, just keep voicing your concern. Just keep bringing it up. Like, I'm not sure if this is the best. I'm not sure if this, you know, whatever. And
yeah.
be prepared to be told that you're wrong and that you don't know what you're talking about. But
yeah.
you know, I think that is really important.
It can sound very scary, you know, when you might hear, like, oh, you guys did what now? But I think that, like, hopefully that becomes, like, a natural thing. You know, that's part of, like, the parent role is that, like, oh, yeah, like, I'm making these phone calls because I care and love, you know, or whatever, you know, or, like, that you're working on doing that. And
yeah.
And I think it just becomes a part of the whole process. You know, and as you get used to that, I think you'll be more like, yeah, I'm going to keep advocating for these kids, you mm-hmm. know, regardless of what people are saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that kind of connects to my other expectation, but I know that it's your turn, so.
Well, I mean, not really. You can go again because okay. ours were, we just talked about both of ours.
That's true. So the other expectation is that the quote unquote legal team for the kids are these, like, awesome, like, advocates, and that they're going to do their job. Like, I have my job as foster parent, and then all these other people in the legal, quote unquote, legal team are doing their part, their job.
Oh boy, he's really spilling the tea now.
And the reality is that there's that lack of their job that, like, you know, they kind of missed. Yeah. And, you know, and yeah, I mean, nobody's perfect, right? But I think that we definitely saw this in one of the caseworkers and for the kids, and it sucked.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. And like, that's obviously not
sugarcoat it, but
yeah, that's not obviously a reflection on everybody.
It's not.
I know there's amazing caseworkers,
right.
and I know there's amazing lawyers and all that, but
yeah,
you know, the glimpse, the little sliver that we saw. You're completely right.
Yeah, and so that kind of feeds into the, like, the broken what we mentioned before is the broken, you know, system.
Yeah.
Like, kind of feeds into that. And yeah, there's amazing people there. Like, we did have an amazing certifier, but sometimes we, like, you know, they misspoke or something. We're like, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, that's not true, or that you're wrong in this one, you know, on this one. And so, yeah, it sucks when, like, there's those people out there that are kind of like careless or whatever, and, you know, and kind of treat this as just a job. And so it was a bummer.
Yeah. So a little recommendation, that just reminded me of is, if you are wanting to kind of learn more about like this aspect of it, I would recommend following Tori Hope Peterson on Instagram. She is a former foster youth, so she spent years in the foster care uh-huh. system, and she is now a foster parent and an advocate for foster youth. And her perspective is really, really good. And she talks about some of the issues around caseworkers and them kind of being like incentivized to do certain things and have kids moved or not moved and all this stuff, and how and what a problem that is to foster youth and just, you know, really hard homes that she was in and not having people yeah. like listen to her and believe her and things like that. So I would definitely recommend listening to her, because she definitely has way more knowledge and way more experience with the system than we do, than yeah. like the little bit yeah. that we have seen. So, you know, I would highly recommend following her. And I think it's really important to have that perspective of former foster youth, like
right.
the yeah. people that were experiencing the other side of the system.
Yeah, totally.
For so yeah, sure. Definitely recommend that.
Yeah. So is that one of your expectations?
No, I thought about it, but
yeah,
I didn't write that down, but I definitely agree with you.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard to talk about in a way, because like, I don't want to paint a picture that everybody, every caseworker, every lawyer or whatever is horrible, but
no. And like, I think we are saying and that there's also amazing people.
Yeah.
And that we have heard or like seen.
Yes.
You know? And so, and that's awesome. I'm just saying that this case could happen, that yes. there's these people that kind of come and like, you know, at first they're like awesome, and then later they're like, what the heck, you know?
Yeah. And I want to also say that I don't think this is at all us being like super critical, super nitpicky. Yeah. Like, we definitely, we heard from other people also within DHS, also within, you know, our circle kind of that yeah. kind of solidified for us. Like, yes, what's happening here is not the way okay. it should be. Okay.
And like, yeah. yeah. And here's the actual like things that this person is responsible for.
Yes.
And not doing.
And yeah, not yeah. doing at all. So
that happens. And like, don't be afraid to call that out regardless of who it is.
Right.
You know, to be kind of funny and, but like also real is that one thing I like to always say.
Oh, right. I know what you're going to
say. Yeah, I'm going to go there, regardless of what you might, I don't know.
It's fine. Go ahead. Just say it.
Okay. So this helps me just calm down and realize, like, you know, like, it doesn't matter who I'm talking to. Like at the end of the day, everybody's human. And so one thing I say to humanize and put this person not like on top of me, but just kind of like as equals, is that, you know, like, everybody poops.
It's true.
Everybody toots, you know, if you want to use the second one, everybody toots.
Yeah.
And like, at the end of the day, yeah, like, you're human, I'm human, like, you know, so regardless of what role, what like title you have, doctor or not, whatever, you know, like, thing is before your name, like, it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
So keep being the advocate that you are.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's good. Okay, I feel like this kind of also goes along with the last one, sort of.
Uh-huh.
Expectation was that as foster parents, we would be the main adults in our kids' lives. But the reality is that there are so many adults playing different roles in the kids' lives.
Yeah.
And this is good, but it also feels very strange.
Uh-huh.
So it might be different because our kids were school age, uh-huh. and also there were three of them, and so that it might be very different if you had like a toddler or a baby or something.
Uh-huh.
But for us, it was just so interesting. Like, you, depending on the case and depending on so many different things, like you could have, there's you as the foster parent. There's a lot of, sometimes, not always, there's the bio parents that are in the picture.
Yeah. Or other, like,
or other adults, like other family. Other family members, yeah, that the kids might be visiting.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's very common, which I think a lot of people might not know, is that, you know, the whole goal of foster care is to return children back home whenever it's safe.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times children in foster care are actively visiting their parents or their family members in order to keep that relationship going. Yes. Because yeah, that the goal is to have them return home.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you might have bio parents and you might have other biological relatives that are in the picture. And then you have teachers, you might have counselors, you might have other therapists, depending on what kind of like needs that your child might have. And then you have the caseworker, and then you have the lawyer.
Yeah.
And then you have sometimes other people from DHS. And then also, depending on the situation, you could have previous foster parents or previous caregivers.
Yeah.
And who could still have a role in your child's life. And I
mean, teachers too.
Yeah. I said that. Yeah. And, oh, you did, and yeah, school counselors.
Yeah.
And like the list goes on and on. And right, so, and a lot of these people, a lot of these adults have maybe been in the child's life longer than you have.
Right.
And that's such a weird position to be in. And then you have the caseworker who has probably been in the child's life longer than you.
Sounds like day one, yeah.
But then also doesn't know them very well necessarily because and that's not their fault, but they are only allotted like an hour a month to actually have face-to-face interaction with the with the child. But then they control so much of what happens to the child. And so that's really weird. And I remember the first time that that reality hit me like square in the face where I was like, I don't think that this is a good idea. I don't think this is in the best interest. And it was just like quick email response, like, well, it's happening. And I was just like, oh,
right. Yeah.
Right. And so that's a very weird feeling of like, oh, I, you know, it's just in that sense, it is different than parenting a child who is legally your child, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just something that I didn't, you know, did not see coming.
Right. Yeah. There's just so many people.
And let me also be clear that there, for the child, like that is, that's good. Like the more strong relationships that they can have, especially if, I mean, it's hard to talk about this, but it's true. Like, especially if they're not going to be with you forever, the more healthy relationships that they can have,
the better,
with loving, caring, nurturing adults, that's great.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but it's just, it's a weird feeling, especially as you're just meeting these kids for the first time.
Yeah.
And there's already all these other adults that have this role in their life.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I have two more and they're kind of related, but I'll mention one first.
Okay.
My expectation was that I was going to get 100% support from my parents, from like my family. And the reality was that it wasn't really there at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it really sucks.
Yeah.
To see that and to write that down. But, you know, at the end, it worked out fine. So I thought, so backstory, just super brief. I think I mentioned this before, but if not, my mom raised me for the first 2 years of life, of my life.
Yeah.
And then, and so because my bio dad left before I was born. And then my mom ended up meeting, technically right now, my stepdad when I was 2 years old. And so, you know, that was, there was those two first 2 years that it was just her and I. And so I thought that like, that was kind of like a big like reason for me to think that my mom would, especially my mom, would like approve of this, you know. And so, yeah, it was just really hard to talk to them about this. And again, it was more so like my mom. And, you know, like you mentioned before, the disclaimer was that, yeah, there's people out there that might like be, you know, negative and all that stuff. And you pretty much were describing like my mom, someone like my mom. And
there's other people too, but that came to mind. But yeah.
Yeah. And so, Yeah, so that was pretty much my mom, thinking like, well, these people are going to be, have bad influence in your life, and they're going to bring all this stuff and trauma and stress and all this stuff, like might as well don't be a part of that. And so, obviously did not listen to that. I did. It was hard because it was my mom and everything, but I think that those conversations got better over time, and it was not easy at all. Like, believe me, it was so hard. And so if you're in that like situation, like I just want to like amend you and like don't give up, and even at the end, if your parents or whoever, someone that you respect and love and has been there, in your life for so long, like if they don't improve, like at the end of the day, like keep at it, and then hopefully one day they would understand. Like my mom eventually did, and she was a lot more compassionate and caring and loving and concerning and about the kiddos. And so, and I think that it might be a cultural thing. It might be just because it's my mom. I think that Mexicans don't really typically have this situation where they consider fostering. I think that it's a lot different. And so I think that that's also maybe another thing, another factor that fed into that, the fears and all that stuff, the concerns that my mom had was that she wasn't used to that and like seeing that. And so I think that, we were there to show her like, yeah, this is an option, and we're definitely doing it, And so yeah, so that
Yeah.
happened.
I want to share one that I didn't write down, but I actually thought of it because I think it flows really nicely from what you just said. And I think this is another one that has more of like a positive spin to it. Like the reality of it is actually more positive than the expectation, I guess, kind of. And that is that my expectation, I guess, or kind of lack thereof, was that I didn't expect, or how do I say this? I expected for my life, I guess, and my kind of view of things to sort of not be dramatically altered by fostering, I guess. It's weird to say the expectation, but basically, what I'm saying is my reality is that this really shifted and changed so much about us, I think, as individuals, as a couple, and also I think the way that we view family. And we talked about the fact that we went into marriage wanting to adopt. So I think, we had that idea in mind that like family is not just about blood, that you can love a child who is not genetically your child as your own. But having that reality, having the kids in our home and loving them, it changes the way that you view everything, because it was just, I don't know, it was just putting hands and feet to this idea that we had that, like, yeah, you can love a child that isn't, yours genetically. And it changed the way that we think about, like, I don't know if this will make sense, but like, it changed the way that we think about in-laws. It changed the way that we think about marriage. It
Just
changed the way that we think about family.
the word family,
Because if we're saying, that, blood is not thicker than water. Like, it doesn't matter what your DNA looks like. Like, if I'm saying that you're part of my family, then that's it. Like, end of story, period. Like, there's no way for you to lose that status. You don't have to prove that you're part of this family. Like, you just are. And I think it's really easy for us to say that and to think it, but to still kind of in the back of your mind, a view like, yeah, but I still have like a closer bond to these people that are, my blood relatives. And I think that family is extremely important. I think that family is that you should have a loyalty to your family, but I don't think that that should just be determined by whether
Blood.
you look alike, you know what I mean? By your blood. And so I just didn't expect for it to so radically shift like the way that we view everything when it comes to family. And so that was a big thing. And oh, what I wanted to say also along with that and going off of what you said is that, you know, if you're in this situation where people are trying to, like, quote unquote, warn you of what it's going to be like and tell you that you're making a mistake and all that, know that, you know, you just keep going, but also realize that you don't have to prove anything. Mm-hmm. Like, your kids don't have to prove anything. Like, you know, I thought about that with our kids. What if the things that people were warning you about came true, quote unquote, like if they, you know, there was a lot of trauma or there are a lot of behavior issues or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to prove to anybody that, like, oh, look, like, these are foster kids and look how well behaved they are. Like, no, that's not it. The point is that if you're saying that I'm choosing to love these kids as my own, then that's it. Like, that's it. They're your family and nobody gets to say anything about it.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is definitely not unique to us. Like, I know of another foster family in the community who I remember her texting, like, a group of foster moms and saying, like, hey, you know, we just took in two new placements and I haven't told anybody and I literally haven't even told my parents because I don't want to hear about, like, what I should or shouldn't be doing. And that's just a thing, you know, is that people try to tell foster parents and adoptive parents and stuff, like, oh, you know, you can't save them all.
Right.
It's like, well, maybe not, but I can save this one. I can help this one.
Yeah.
And again, I just, that was something that, you know, I didn't expect. And it's really important. And I, as I'm saying this, I am just thinking, like, I hope that I'm not sounding like really superior or like high and mighty in the way I'm saying it. Again, we talked about it last week and I want to talk about it again. Like, we're not heroes. We're not like a special type of person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just something that we've chosen to do, you know? And I don't know. Does that make sense? I feel like I've completely lost my train of thought.
No, it's good. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though?
I do.
Like, it's really important for you to know that what you're doing is good and you should keep doing it. But also just realize that it doesn't make us, like, better or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I hear you.
I'm done.
Okay. So what's your expectation?
Well, I added that one as a bonus one, but I'll tell you my last one.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. My last one is that the expectation was that the feeling of having our privacy invaded would end after the home study was over.
Mm.
But the reality was there's a lot of control and independence that you give up when you choose to foster. And I remember another foster parent telling me, like, oh, it's a big invasion of privacy. And she wasn't really saying it in a negative way, but just kind of like, just so you know, like, that is part of it. And I just kind of, when she said that, I was like, oh, she's talking about the home study, because they ask you a bajillion questions and they make you share your deepest secrets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No.
But the thing is that, like, it's almost like you can't take a step without telling DHS what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, it's 100% worth it.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of funny in a way of, like, if your kid gets a bruise, if you have to take them to the doctor, you know, if something's changing with their schooling, if something's changing with, like, if you want to travel,
you just have to ask permission.
You just have to tell them or ask permission for kind of everything and just let them know what's going on, which 100% makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they aren't legally ours.
Yeah.
So it totally makes sense, but it's just something that nobody really prepares you for.
Yeah.
And one thing I thought was kind of funny was when COVID happened and there was all of a sudden really strict, like, mandates happening with the stay-at-home orders and traveling bans and the mask mandates and all of this stuff. And some people, which I understand, but some people were kind of like, whoa, like, this is a lot, you know. And I kind of was, like, not really that affected by it. And then I was like, oh, it might be because we couldn't really do what we wanted to do without asking for permission before anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole traveling thing, it was like, oh yeah, we couldn't just travel without asking before this.
Yeah.
So it was just one of those things that it's like, it's just kind of a reality of it, and it's not a huge thing at all. Right. You just get used to it, but it's not something that you have to deal with when you're parenting kids that are yours legally.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you just get accustomed to things and stuff.
Totally. Just like, oh yeah, I have to send this email real quick to let them know this, that, and the other.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my last one, and this is going to be, I'm getting like amped up about this because this is a big issue. So my last one, it's going to tie into a next episode or something, a next topic.
Okay.
Because it's crazy. So, so my expectation is that there was going to be support for foster dads.
Mm.
You know, yes, there was support for foster parents, for moms and dads. That's true. But the reality was that this is such a social, like, big, like, dilemma that when you think of parents, you think about the mom and not the dad.
Yeah.
And yes, there is gender roles, right? And yes, sometimes majority of the time works out when you have a kid, the dad is the quote unquote breadwinner, goes to work, comes back while the mom is what do you call them?
Like stay-at-home
mom. Stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe that that happens, right?
Right.
But so with foster care, this community, that also like feeds into that. And a lot of people might not really realize it or you know, like really call it out or point it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there. And so when people, like programs or certain little things, discussions are brought up about foster care, like how to deal with this and this and that, it's more like the foster moms talking with them, foster moms having little Facebook groups for like just majority foster moms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so whether now I'm kind of tapping into a bigger problem, like I said, or hinted at that it's like, where are the foster dads? Hey, like where are the dads in general, you know? So, you know, is it that dads don't really care? Is it because people don't care, or is it because dads are not being included in the conversation? What is it? You know, is it being careless or want to care more, but they're being excluded?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, I think that this kind of highlights a bigger picture. But I want to focus on the foster like community, right? And that is that there wasn't really a lot of help for like foster dads. Like, so going back to the community, the lack of, there was more foster moms that we talked to.
Yeah.
You know? And, I didn't really interact and connect with foster dads at all.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was like, hey, I need help, I want to connect with another foster dad, there wasn't really another person.
Yeah.
And again, there's a lot of factors there, that I was aware and then probably wasn't aware, but the factors that I was aware of is what, again, my age, right? Like there was, yes, foster dads there, but they were a lot older. I didn't connect. And also I've heard that, you know, through one foster mom was like, yeah, my husband, you know, he's fine. He doesn't need help or anything. And here I am, like, I'm a foster dad and I need help.
Yeah.
You know, like Savannah's getting kind of this mentorship, you know, thing going on with this foster mom. Mm-hmm. Like, what about the husband? You know, like, I want to get connected with another dad.
Yeah.
Especially who's a foster dad. And so it just kind of sucks that, like, I have to ask, like, where are the foster dads,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then the bigger picture, where are all the dads in general? But anyway, yeah so it was frustrating to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so hopefully I made sense. And, you know, as the listeners listening to this, you know, I'm not, like, against, like, moms, you know, like down with the moms, you know, dads just overtake, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love what people are doing, right? Like parenting kids, regardless of who you are, right? If you're a guy, girl, whatever, like there's so many factors to talk about and dissect, but we can't right now. But if you are a dad, if you are wanting to be a foster dad, if you are a foster dad, like, awesome. That's awesome. You know, I want to connect with you. Like,
yeah.
I want to relate with you. I want to engage with you. I want to have this like connection, mm-hmm. you know, community, because there's a big lack.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and it's a bummer, you know? And so like I needed help and, you know, I admit it, you know, now, and like I admitted it, like, you know, months ago that like I needed help, you know, and I didn't really get it.
Yeah.
And so, if you know someone who is like struggling, who is a dad, or, you know, a dad, a figure or whatever, whether, you know, an adoption or a foster dad or whatever it is, like send them this little clip, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm here, want to like connect with you. I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, so that's just my spiel. Like mm-hmm. I really, you know, I'm calling that out. And so, I think that we could do better, you know?
That's good. So, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like going back to the expectation reality, like, yes, it sucked, you know, but I think that we made our way. And mm-hmm. I had to made my, you know, figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, not just like sit there and mope and be like, woe's me. Right. But to talk, like I talked to you, that helped a lot, mm-hmm. you know? And so.
Yeah. And like we were saying that there was a big lack of community, but like, you know, you're absolutely right that the bit of community that was there, really, I was kind of the only one who was getting any sort of meaningful like support. And mm-hmm. you know, there were a few people that I was able to talk to and connect with and get advice and help that was extremely yeah. valuable.
Yeah.
But then I was just kind of coming home and like regurgitating it to you. And that's not the same as hearing it from someone who's
right.
in your shoes and who yeah. has lived it and is sharing you their wisdom. You know, yeah. that's different. It hits different, you know, when you're hearing it from somebody firsthand.
Yeah.
Than just me saying like, oh yeah, this person said blah blah blah, and like, you know, and moms and dads are different, and there does tend to be differences, and yeah. so hearing advice and help and encouragement from another dad is different than hearing it from
totally.
A mom, from a foster
yeah.
mom.
Yeah, yeah.
So I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, mm-hmm. you relate more with that person, you know, if it was another dad.
Yeah.
Right. And so. Yeah, I get that. I get that importance, the value of it, and everything. So, yeah, it is tough. But I don't want to leave this podcast with episode with this like negative like note, but maybe more of a call, right? To like let's rise up and like and you know and call this out and point out like yeah, like hey. You know, admit, you know, to each other or to someone you're close to that's saying, yeah, like, I need help, you know. I'm a dad. I have no idea,
yeah.
you know. If you feel comfortable sharing that, that would be awesome. And one private way you could do that is through our email. And that's the polythospodcast@gmail.com. And,
yeah. absolutely. And even if you're hearing this, like, months, years after yeah, this yeah. comes out, like reach out to us. Honestly, we
yeah.
really do care about this. And I think kind of just to sort of wrap up the whole thing, I think that, you know, obviously the reason that we talked about this is that there were hard things, that there have been hard things
yeah.
with this. But going back to what I said at the beginning, that the hard things are never the children.
No.
They're absolutely not the problem. They are the reason why it's completely worth it to go through the hard things. And also, the children in foster care have faced insurmountably harder and more challenging things than
yeah.
we do on this side of foster care. And so I don't uh-huh. want to compare those at all. Like, oh, everything about foster care is hard. Like, no. It being a foster parent is a walk in the park compared to the things that these children are going through.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to make that comparison, but obviously we can only speak to our situation. And
yeah.
And so our hope with this is that we can shed some light on the reality and what it's actually like, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And that that might equip someone to see like, oh yeah, some of the things that maybe I've heard are true, but it is so worth it. And it is so just invaluable to, you know, to be able to do this and to help these kids and, you know, be that lifeboat like we were talking about. So that really is our hope with this, is that it would just be an encouragement and also just spread awareness that, you know, there is this huge need and you don't have to be anybody special. You don't have to, you don't have to have, you know, all this life experience or whatever to be able to just step in and fill that need. Because obviously, as we're talking about this, we didn't really know what we were doing.
Right.
We didn't really know what we were getting into, but we're, you know, we're here for it and we want to, we want to keep going, you know?
Totally.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We are really, truly grateful that you're here. If you haven't left us a review, it really would help us a lot, especially as we're still new. We're still kind of starting out in podcasting. And actually, fun fact, we have a goal this year that we would like to have 30 reviews on our podcast.
Yeah.
It really does help, actually, for other people to find it if there are reviews.
And on Apple Podcasts.
On Apple Podcasts. And it's super easy. I'm not sure because, I'll be honest, I don't really leave reviews very often for other podcasts, which I should.
Yes.
Especially small podcasts. But it's actually super easy if you've never done it. Like, while you're listening on Apple, you literally just scroll down. Like under the episode, and it'll say leave a review, and then you just type it in. So if you want to help us reach our goal, that would be amazing.
Yes.
And yeah, so thank you very much.
And as Hagrid says, what's coming will come, and we'll meet it when it does. See you next time.